It's 20 January 1987.
Can you tell me your name, Mr. Twist?
Miss Alvy. L-V-I-E.
Alvy Twist.
T-W-I-S-S.
And I'm Steve Rangos at Bureau of Florida Folklife. And Howard Melton is also with us.
So.
Yes, sir.
No, it's at a standstill.
That's all right.
It's kind of got museum, though. This has got museum status here. You could just change it a little bit and charge admission.
See?
And you can show people some things that go back from the beginning, couldn't you? Some things.
Old move.
That's right. You'll find gear. That's blinder there, isn't it?
Yep, that's a
what you call a work bridle for a horse. Got them blinders on there.
And you used to make all of these?
I made them back when you were little young.
Used to make saddles?
I used to make anything you could get me to if it had leather to it. But then later on I got kind of cranky and I just make what you could get me to. And then they hear a few hit. No, them things still breaking out once.
Inside of his head. Can you imagine the pain that he suffered?
Yeah, but there one of them hair up there has got a nerve to it.
Yeah.
And you let it, and
you feel it, every movement of
it. And what it is, eats on them nerves.
Yeah.
And they can itch and hurt.
I never heard of anybody had shingles in their head, but he's had them.
There have been several of them.
Well, you've heard of other people living through it too, huh?
Yeah, and I've heard of other people dying with it.
Yep.
Now, your father was a shoemaker here in town, Mr. Twist?
He was up in Polk County.
In Polk County?
Yeah, that's 40 miles north of here where he was. Now, that there ain't it.
That's not it?
No, that's a pair.
That's some plastic. Right?
Fiberglass.
You made those?
Fiber, yeah.
After you made aluminum. Did you start off making them with leather or what?
Aluminum.
Aluminum started off with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wound up with the plastic tank?
Well, that, polyethylene and plastic, it's a different stuff. There's an old one that I repaired, but that's been wore for.
Then these were similar to the ones you had aluminum, because
yeah,
I've
the
got
identical
pictures
same.
Of that, you know, that you used in the advertisement.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the old days, did they make those out of leather?
Yeah. Canvas and everything, yeah.
Heavy cloth, like a canvas cloth. During World War I, you know, they used them for boots for the soldiers.
Huh. Yeah, but that time I was doing a lot of hunting out in the woods.
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand that, but I've laid here wanting to go hunting. And, too tired to. And all this here. Heck, there wasn't nothing around here then. This is out in the country.
Certainly.
50 years ago.
Yes,
I went out there and turned my dogs out of the pen and they'd go with you wherever I pointed. They'd go.
For half a mile, wouldn't be nobody within reach, would it?
And get them going. They sat there and they'd run them all around my house. All this was round timber. That was round timber out here. You know what round timber is?
What?
That means virgin timber.
Virgin timber.
Hadn't been
hard
cut.
Timber that our early houses were built with, some of them still standing.
Yeah, and all around here, I've had them.
So then these are the ones that were made out of canvas?
Yep. I made them about 110 years.
T.R. Dick Brown's.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to use them in the cavalry, didn't they? When they had
that was made for a hunting legging.
Oh, a hunting legging?
Yeah.
But they wore similar something like that for horsemen, didn't they?
Yeah, it had hooks here. That was the army legging.
Yeah.
And they were on one string.
But you made them out of canvas first, then, huh? Or some of them?
Only one I had to.
I see.
What was the first material you used to make leggings out of?
In business. For the business, I made them out of aluminum.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it was for hunting stuff like this, if you made this was out of canvas.
No.
I'm sorry if I misunderstood.
I just made this. That's what a fellow wanted.
I see.
But I never did like to make them, so I didn't make them start with.
What do you use them for?
Hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Hunting.
And was that good enough to ward off a snake bite?
I've never heard of anybody getting bit with them. I used to play with them snakes enough. I still got my box over there. Got a lock on it. And if I found some new material I wanted to try.
You tried your material?
I'd go there and get that old snake out, take him out down the yard and play with him while I see if he can bite through it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've done that many times. And my wife could walk by that box. I could walk by it, it wouldn't bother me. But her adult walked by there. And that thing started jarring them rattler. Telling the world about
it. You kept him in that box there, just for that purpose, huh?
Yeah, I've kept him in there.
You don't have any leftovers, do you?
No, I'm afraid not.
You got any of the rattles or the bones or the skins or anything? You never did try to make any out of snake skin, did you?
No.
You know, they made them out of jackets out of leathers. I mean, out of snake skin.
Yeah. And
shoes. Did your wife ever make shoes out of them?
Nope.
Yeah.
And I've made a many a belt out of it.
Yeah.
But it ain't worth it, are
it? Yeah, you have to reinforce it with some kind
you
of...
You got to back it up with good leather.
Yeah.
I just show sewed on there for...
It's too thin, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty, though.
Yeah. Alligator ain't no good for a belt unless you got it on a piece of good...
backing?
Pig skin or...
Really?
A cow skin.
Well, you'd think alligator would be tough enough, but it's not.
Yeah, but in between them scales is very thin.
Oh, yeah, I see. That's right. It's the scale make it look so thick. That's interesting.
So you made all these saddles here, and this year I've never... Could I look at this? I've never seen this kind of stuff.
You haven't?
No, sir. Not from Chicago.
That's something I've got to fix or done fixed and have.
You still do fixing saddles, huh?
Very little.
Anything you can get out
I'll
of?
I run out of them.
Anything you can get out of, you get out of it.
Hey. It got my shoulder.
This was part of his production line here. What'd you keep in here?
What?
Just go from one...
Nothing. Just that there rolling table.
Oh, that's just a rolling supply table, huh?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
This is a work table.
And these are just saddles up for repairs or some you
that belongs to Sandra. Well, no, she brought it for me to greet it. In fact, I went up to Wachula this morning. First time I drove a car that far out of town in a year and a half, I guess.
Turn some more lights on, Alvin. Let's see if we can see what's going on there. Well, you're going to use nature's light.
Well, to a certain extent. Tighten that up now. Can't get it done.
That makes it better.
Mm-hmm. I'll get this. There's all kinds of booby traps in here now.
I
turned it on this morning about 5 o'clock.
There you go.
You got the punch in. Now this here motor just worked back there.
What kind of machine is this?
That's a clicking machine. That's what I stamped them plastic leggings up with.
Oh, I see.
Do you tan your own leather?
No. Nope. I raise it.
You raise it?
I have raised leather. No, that's what I have. I haven't bought no. You know, I used to carry around $6,000 worth of stock, leather stock in here.
Well, you use a lot of them.
Yeah. But I haven't bought very little leather since. Now, what was that after you look?
Well, it's probably something to hold tools in, isn't it?
That holds the gadgets that Western Union used to, when they had the Western Union. All these lines ran up and down these roads.
Uh-huh.
They had some tool they kept in there.
Okay. And you would repair it or make the thing? Or?
I made him a new one just like that used to be.
Anything in leather he made or repaired, fixed or improved.
Now this here is known as a clicking machine. This fellow wanted a pair of spur leather the other day. So I laid that up there. Laid it hanging up there again. Now I laid my
template.
Just touch it, Nick. With one little finger.
How was it done in the old days? Would you have to do it with a knife?
Yeah. And still use it once in a while, do things with that old knife is still being used.
Who do they get to do leather work around here now? Nobody around here doing it if you don't do it.
You know what you closest
place. There used to be Taylor here on Hillsborough Avenue, but he moved.
He wasn't no good.
He was an alligator wrestler, wasn't he?
I don't know. Or
T. Taylor was his name. You asked me one time.
Yeah, what was his name?
T. Taylor. I don't know what. Tommy Taylor. Tommy. Yeah.
I don't know. I never. Now he. When people say they know how to work on leather, they say, I've done some leather craft. Forget about him. He don't know the first thing about leather. Did you know?
How can you tell what a man knows about leather like
he? I know what he can work on and what he can't. In leather craft, which includes all this there fancy carving on there, you got to have an old flabby piece of leather or you can't do nothing with it. You can't work a firm piece of leather like you think you'd get.
You mean you can't make those fancy designs and cuts in them?
No, you can't do
it. Is that right? Looks like that would be better, the hard pieces similar to what you put on the sole of your feet.
That's the reason why you can buy your belt and it'll last you 2 or 3 years and go all the pieces.
Yeah.
You don't know the difference.
No, I don't.
I don't either, so we're in a group here.
No, I ain't been around.
But there's still a lot of machines around here that have to have belts, and when they break, and when they have to have a new one, where to go?
I'll make them for somebody.
You made me one time for a big old printing press.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
No hand operated. It was electrical, but you could operate
by hand. That son-in-law of mine, he told me a while back, said, you remember, this is that big press you had, Jimmy?
Yeah. Son's a printer in Orlando.
And
got a printing shop.
He said, you remember making me a belt back when I first started years ago? Yep. And he says, I've got to have another, but I think I'm going to sell out first. I won't need it. I said, I don't remember. The other didn't cost you anything. Go ahead and get it. After all them years.
Yeah, that's something. Is he still in the printing business in Orlando?
No, he sold.
He did sell it, huh?
Yes and no.
Jimmy Bell.
He sold it, the main part. And he's still running it. I know somebody up north, 3 or 4 of them, a company like. And, but he deserves the right to go back to his original business, and that was a specialty. Bell's specialized printing. He started thinking that, and he was making busy he wanted to be, yeah. But it kept growing. First thing you know, he was working 5 and 6 printers in there. Mm. That's something the Arcadian ain't never done.
Yeah, that's right.
And it kept him busy delivering orders. Didn't have to give him more. I don't know. You know Jimmy, it just take to him or something.
Nice guy. And his wife is just about as nice a kid I've ever seen, too. You never know her?
I've met her a time or two. Oh, I got a letter from their kid. He's over. Look at that. Mm-hmm.
That's calf skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call pebble grain finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to do that?
Is that stamped in there?
Huh?
Is that stamped in there?
Yeah.
By machine?
Yeah. One side is smooth and the other side is got that in there and they wet that.
Is that a dye in there too that makes it that color?
Well, when you say you make the saddle now, do you do it from the wood all the way through, or do you just do the leather?
No, you
part?
Get them that wood, get it, and then cut the leather
really
out.
Too. Did you used to make the wood part, or never?
You ever repair them from the wood?
This is a natural tan here. That piece there is a natural tan. That's the way it looked.
When it comes off the end.
Before they go to putting this stuff on there.
Yeah.
That's right. A lot of these cheap belts you get. I can tell one where they fit.
Even without smelling.
Make it on they call it an Erlen wheel. Kind of like a.
What kind of machine is this?
That's a machine that. I tell them it makes them look snowball.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Let me get away and turn this light on.
Could I get my camera? Would that be all right, Albie?
I don't care.
All right. See that right there.
Mm, that rock in the head there, somebody let it go over your head. And
how come you think my wife's such a nice little girl?
She uses that. Oh,
no, I get her attention with that.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Then I sweet talk her.
Is that what you roll your leather out with? Looks like a rolling pin. No, it looks more like a billy.
That is a.
Here, see if you. No, this is not the one. I got a belt at home, neither. Punch her in. Hold it. I'd get your wife to punch that hole in my belt. Every time I lose 10 pounds, I have to pull it up 1 inch.
I pull mine up 3 inches.
Every time I gain 10 pounds, I let it out an inch, too.
Mm-hmm. You see that piece of leather there?
Yes, sir.
You can take it. Mm-hmm. Now, they got these things. I got this one off of an old uncle of mine.
Did your uncle work in leather too, sir?
At one time, they were five twist shoe shops in Polk County in operation.
Is that right? And your wife's just finished training one of your nephews for the last several years. Where is he now?
He's working in some hospital over there, decided he'd rather be a cook.
You mean he got out of the.
Oh, yeah.
Leather vendor? After going through all that apprenticeship with your wife?
See that? That put that bead around the edge.
Huh. I see.
But at the same time, you got one in your pocket. If you got a pocket knife, do the same thing.
Really? The back end of the blade will do it?
Hand it here. You got a pocket knife?
No, I don't need a sword.
That's a sorry man won't carry a pocket knife.
I know it.
What are you going to kill a nigger?
Well,
that's unconstitutional, though.
Yeah.
You heard about that.
Yeah. It's unconstitutional to steal a hog, but I still get one lead of hydrogen.
You'd rather steal one than go hungry, hadn't you?
Makes it better.
Huh? How old are you, Albie?
74.
74. I'm 35, just so you know.
You were middle-aged now, you know it?
Yeah, I'm...
The old master giving you 70, 35 is a middle-aged.
That's right.
3 score and 10. You've already passed it. How'd you make it? Hard work? Is that eating a lot of good grub?
Eating a lot of good grub and raising plenty of cane.
And mining and obeying your wife.
Yeah. Mostly staying away from preachers.
She had me pretty well occupied.
They're waiting for you to come back to church so you can sit in that pew you bought about 25 years ago. No, it's been longer than that, about 30
years.
Well, that's been a long time since you've been in church.
Well, you're still paying on the bench. You're still paying on the bench.
No, he made me pay him.
He paid cash money then. That was $100. That bench now costs about $500.
$96 what it cost, and I made that check for even $100.
I think now they cost about $600 for the same bench, or $7.
It pays to go to church when you're young, man.
Yeah, that's right. It's a good thing. It's a good thing you bought the first batch, because they just bought some more the other day.
What about them other?
They just added some more to them.
Mine should be as good as new. I never had to set it the first time.
I know it. That was the last time he was at church, I think. Caught him in a weak moment.
No, you didn't. It's almost necessity.
Yeah, that's right.
In case I went to church again.
That's right.
I tell you what they've done with me. Now, all my kids, they go to church. And I got some good kids. Got a good wife. I ain't too bad a husband, she said. I toughed it out with an offer. 53 years.
Well, yeah, I know. He's got a copy of your 50th wedding anniversary picture. It was in the paper. Story about you. I gave it to him.
Yeah. But anyhow, get back. They had a show on Black Gold.
Black Gold?
Yeah. I don't know whether you've seen it or heard of it or not. Well, it was a picture of Black Gold. It was from Africa, I think it was, somewhere. Anyhow, my wife wanted to go, and I said, okay. And I come out of here just like I'm dressed now. I did put on a clean shirt because it was running late. I said, well, let's go down there and ease in the back. And I won't be noticed. I ain't got time. I was running late. Got time to clean up. But I did put on a clean shirt and we went. Only place I could sit was on the pew. Wasn't a pew, it was old straight back chairs. And after me working all day, I'm ready to sit down in something halfway comfortable at night. And so I sat there in that old straight back chair and next day I had a shoe repair saddle shop in uptown at that time. That's where I started there. And
it moved you too far up. You wanted the back seat and it didn't have any for you.
Nope. I seen him in a drugstore and I said, Bud, next time I go to church, I want a good, comfortable bench or seat sat on. Now that thing, that old chair, it was rough.
That was the wrong thing to say.
He says, well,
glad you mentioned it.
Since you mentioned that, I'm going to start a drive right now for pews. I said, how much does it cost? Are they going to cost $96 a piece? I went next door shop, wrote him out a check for $100. I said, now get dead.
And he hadn't been back since. He's afraid.
Well, I went twice.
That church, that pew now has been padded both in the seat and in the back. Now you can have everything but a foot.
Well, you ain't told me. I guess you didn't want me around.
Yeah. I'll even put your footrest there, and then you'll have it where you can really rear back and listen for an hour.
No, I went twice. Jackie, that's when he first left you. He come back, let's go to church this morning. I said, okay. We went to church, and there I was, a middle-aged man, over with them old gray-headed codgers. that didn't sound right. That was out of class. Come the time in your age, you ain't an old man, you ain't a young man. You're kind of like an illegitimate child of the family reunion. So, you kind of get that feeling, you know? And that got by that. And the next time, it wasn't long before he talked me into going again. Then he got me over there where them seats got plugged in them.
Mm-hmm. Hard to hear.
He pointed and showed me where they're at. He said, got home. He said, well, now you had a pretty good round of it. So you know where the old man's at? And I showed you them plug in. I'm made for old men that have to have
hearing aids.
Hearing aid. Just plug it in. Go ahead and hear. Well, I guess I've had the treatment now.
Look down there on the floor there. There's an old shoe last and meat block. That's an antique. Both of those things are antiques right there.
Did you used to use that meat block for leather?
Oh, just that.
Where did that come from?
I do. Remember when you was a little boy?
Yeah.
That's an old fashioned. You still get them.
We used to have that one in our home.
Wait a minute, I'll move this.
Nail or glue rubber soles on that you could buy at a dime store for about 10 cents a pair.
You know,
did you know that thing's worth about $500? Or that meat market, that meat block right there.
I don't know. I've had it ever since the B&B went out of business.
Is that where he got it from?
Yeah.
Well, my brother then cut meat on that. My brother Gray, you know, he started there as a teenager with G.W. Drake.
Yeah, he cut, yeah.
Yeah. If you ever decide to sell it, let me know. I'll put a bid in. But I'd rather do this. Let's open a museum out here, just kind of make it where we could charge a dollar entrance fee, and then we'd have somebody to lecture. We'd go through these aisles explaining everything, and we wouldn't have to hit a lick of a snake.
You know, I always felt like I've done something. Now, you know, I went twice. I cranked up my little tractor out there, went over and plowed up garden for a fella two times. Well, you know, I'd rather do that than all this here. Because you've done something that'll help somebody. And anytime you plant a garden, he's going to get some good out of it. And you may get some good out of it. And his neighbors get some good out of it. That log pig can eat out of one garden.
I know. That would make a good cheese board for
him. Yep.
Show us some of your other antique machinery and tools you used to work with by hand, Ellen. You've got different stuff around. What was this used for here? This wheel.
That was just a wheel I got for that.
For making leather belts? Yep.
This one. Traction right here. No, I don't know how nothing to do with that.
Yep.
That is a lot of wheels on, excuse me. Let there be light down there.
What went through this?
Well, that's a machine. We got everything in the shoe shop now. Everything you had. And this was Sky Soul. You've seen people, shoemaker, run a piece of leather through that.
Yeah.
To sky that off, save having to do it by hand.
Yeah.
Well, at that time, you know, I'd cut up maybe 100 hides of leather while I'd at it. That's the wife persuader there.
Now, what did you sew back here on this big sewing machine?
I sewed them plastic leggings. I sewed the binding on them.
Is that what the machine used? Is that another sewing machine of similar?
That's just like that one, the same thing.
Oh, I see.
But it's just a little longer.
really they are heavy-duty upholstery machines.
Oh, I see.
But they do work with leather, too, huh? Oh, yeah, if it's something that they can handle, but it's got to be...
Your son Jack never took much interest in this kind of business, did he?
Nope.
You couldn't persuade him to...
He's just
too sophisticated.
There's some people. I'd have been, let's put it this way, I'd have been at least.
I know, I saw it. Gee whiz, but it's heavy. Well, I think that's a mallet.
I got new it, eh?
What is it? What's it for? To roll out leather?
I used to make the aluminum leggings. Use the pattern to lay on it, mark it off over that table over there. And I had this thing here already. Where I could set down that loom and not get scratched on it. That's what that's for, the whole, where it stayed.
Well, you made your own tools and a lot of stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
There was the equipment. I mean, your stuff had never been made before.
There's a thing right there that I'm going to show you over there.
Yes, sir.
It's just like this one. And on that leather, I don't have to put leather on the aluminum. I need and I couldn't get nobody to make me one. I wouldn't bother with it. So one Saturday night, I was looking at my watch. She was checking up, and I said, I want that piece of machinery right there. You're going to have to do the best you can later.
And you made that yourself then?
That's one of them things converted over to something other else. Other words, I don't know whether I got any stuff around here or not. I got some, but this same stuff, that leather.
When that folds around the edge of the aluminum?
Yeah, over the edge of the aluminum.
That's a fat man's belt.
And
this one?
I could put that through that thing, and when it come out of here, it'd fold itself and come around here. I put this on there where I could. Well, I can still get that up without even looking under there. Mm-hmm. I reached under there too many times. Here's a handle I made. I get that leather stuck in there and it come through that thing here. That roller over there, that was to put my rust up on, you know, four up right through there. Then I had to turn that, made them mark out here, and that roll got that big. I quit then. Even got that tapered over where I could slip it out center. In other words,
you made your own tools to work with because what you were doing, nobody else had done before, I guess, huh?
No, nobody's done it since.
That's an art in itself, making tools to manufacture things that never been manufactured before.
Yeah, one of the things I was the most proud in, still am. You know, on them aluminum leggings, they come out round.
Yeah.
They come out round, but I want them oval shaped. Boy, they don't. It's still there under this thing here somewhere.
Maybe I can get it for you.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in years, but I stuck it up under there. Ain't no time what all you find out of there. What's that?
Rat bit me.
Well, good. I'm on a chili. And I read it, but ain't no particular to him. I'm going to get rid of him.
He turned me loose, so he just took one nip right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife.
What was it you're looking for? Something to go over that to show how you did it?
No, it was something similar to this here, get up. Only had to put a block in here.
Well, there is a block down there. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. But I had it fixed where I lay on this table, and I could come down there. See, I made that. That's the old clothes wringer.
How about that?
Made that and put some of that solar material on there.
And that made it oval shape when you roll it.
Well, that's the way. I could take that thing, but before, you had to start off and mash it a little bit. Sometimes you mash too hard. I put that on there. And I could just start up here pushing, roll it on down. That was pretty good for a while. But I'd go do something else, and I'd get caught up, do a lot of thinking. And I wanted something that'd do it automatically. And I drove from Miami to Atlanta, Georgia, at a machine shop. Somebody recommended it does something like that. I stopped, hunted them up, you know. Nope, can't do it. So, I was going out to milk the cow one Sunday morning. I seen my post over there sticking up there in the yard. I said, you know, I can make what I want out of them things. And got through the breakfast and everything, got out of it. I come up here, I went out there and got them. I come up here and went to sawing and a cutting. I said, so next morning, I went over to down to Bishop's machine shop then. Told the fella I'd like some service out there if I could get it. I got some light up here somewhere.
Need it? Yes, sir.
Did have all my strings were done rod and fell off. And by the next day, all I had to do was slide my leggings over there. That's my post hole there. You know what they are.
Yeah.
All right. See this bottom here?
Yeah.
And it's all adjustable. You get it just right. All you got to do is slide your leggings over this thing here. I'd have to practice a little bit. Get it. Slide them over there. Right on down there. Put that thing down there and mash that. That's as hard as you could, then you had to worry about it. And it come out just as pretty as you please.
And oh, isn't that clever?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it cost me. I give $2.25 for them post hole diggers when we first started this place.
Uh-huh.
Back in 40. And it cost me $4.75 to replace my hole diggers. But them things right there, they ain't been used in a long time because...
Did the bishop make you the frame or did you...
He made
you the frame, huh?
I engineered it.
Yeah.
I was
telling him about Bishop. Bishop, you know, made the first rotary mower.
I had a... You remember he made a tractor? It was a Mercury chassis and put three-bladed mower out of there?
I've got pictures of it.
You know who made the original one?
No, I thought he did.
I engineered it.
You did?
Yeah.
You mean for the rotary mower?
That rotary mower.
Well, he got credit for it.
Yeah, but that's all right.
Did you know that's the most revolutionary thing in mowing there ever has been? Remember what everything was before that?
I know it. Well, you know where I got that idea at?
No.
I bought a mower from a tractor. Tillman Keene had a little putt-putt around here playing with, a garden tractor.
Yeah.
I bought it off of him and I got looking at that thing. So I
got to working on that thing, and I wound up where it would push something or other else. The tractor part would push it. And I had old man Richardson.
Yeah. Gunsmith.
Yep. To make me that. He said he could make it. Where they had them three wheels, blade.
Uh-huh.
And he made them. We put them in there. And I can show where I got the name of the, and wrote it down on the wall up there. That Wind King Mower head. And from it's out in Iowa. I used to use these walls to ride on. And but I went to carry it down to Bishop to get something done that he couldn't do. I drove the thing down there. That's when he lived there in
where
Clark Brown, isn't it? Nope.
Oh yes, where Clark Brown's home. I think his daughter lives there now.
Anyhow, he messed around there, and first thing you know, he came out with one same thing with under the belly of that chassis.
Yeah, Model A. I think he used a Model A first.
Yeah, but
I've
he
got a picture of one with a
he
Model A.
He went up. It was a stripped down Mercury. He wound up with.
Yeah, I know. Wound up with a Mercury, but I think he started with a Model A.
But he started that after I made the first one.
No, you gave him the idea, and he kept
it. He kept.
And he sold it to the city, the county, the state, and the federal government. You know, when the war broke out, he sold hundreds of those that he built right there in that shop.
That's right.
On the Polk Avenue, where Mercer's Western Road is now. And you really gave him the idea.
That's where he got the idea, one that I had.
You don't have any information on that, do you?
No,
or any drawings or photographs or anything, do you? Or any of the remains of the original? Well, it's too bad you don't. Because, you know, I wrote a story about him being the originator of the rotary mower, but I had never heard that you were the one that gave him the idea.
I think I run it off in the trash. I have one in the backhoe. Somebody catches one coming down the road. I run it down here and come in and dig me a trash hole.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start to running things off in it. And after a period of years, it'll fill up. It ain't going to be long. I have to run me down another one. But there's all kinds of bicycles.
You think you might have run it into that one of those holes?
I don't know which one.
Maybe someday we'll excavate and see if we can find some of the remains of it.
But that's where it originally...
He was telling me about somebody else invented cotton gin. It wasn't Eli Whitten. He went to England, he said. Or somewhere, didn't he? Were
he
you
saw
there to tell
well,
me
yeah, he... Yeah, the British wouldn't let the Americans have it. So then he went and...
I can show you something over there.
Where?
That I had trouble with. Singer couldn't make it, so I had to make it myself.
What? Sure does.
Yes, right over here.
Mm-hmm.
We used to put them ribbons in them leggings one at a time and hit it with a hammer. To see if that thing is still running. I ain't used it long enough. Something's unplugged.
She's not plugged in.
That's all right.
You want me to plug it in?
Yeah.
See that?
And I got that where you don't have to even get around it, see? Smooth sound, isn't it?
Let there be light.
And there was,
light.
See, you didn't think I'd ever been to Sunday school.
Yeah, I knew your daddy used to go to church. We got more big enough, you didn't have to.
Yep.
Didn't go much this.
You didn't find something here. I don't know how that turned up now.
Somebody's been out here playing.
But them grandchildren.
That's where I put them hands on. I think it'll make it. At least I got it greased up. See that?
Yeah.
It's already loaded again. Just pat your foot.
And how long has it been since you turned that on? 2 or 3 years?
Let's see, 4 years.
That's pretty good.
What do you do to keep your belt from getting dried out? You got a wax or something? Seemed like you loaned me some wax one time when I had my printing press.
Dress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want me to unplug this?
Yeah.
No, just turn it here.
Now, you can ask, that's about $3,500 there.
That's that?
That's nothing over there. Does the same thing.
Well, what in the world are you going to eventually do with this or allowed to be done? Just leave it here?
I can do anything with it. I tell my wife. I work too hard.
And she can work these machines too, can't she?
Yeah, she can work them. Jackie can work them.
Yeah.
I gave Jackie that shoe shop. He wouldn't work it. He just wouldn't work.
And your wife took it and doing fine with it. Nice shop.
Nice shop.
Yes, sir.
That was a gold mine whenever he had it, he just worked it.
Yeah.
Jackie ain't gonna work.
Well, how many years were you in that location you were seeing before?
Down there, till the bank bought out the whole block there and run me out.
You started in 38, did you say a while ago?
30. July the 8th in 38 is whenever I went in there.
I was working in the arcade drugstore right now. Isn't that when you were running?
Yeah, you weren't an old gray-haired old man either
then.
I was
a teenager then.
Yeah. That's when I could get out and have a little fun.
You always had fun. I mean, that's one thing about you. You never held back on saying what you said, think, and doing what you want to.
Well, I never had any use for a hypocrite.
Yeah. What are you saving these, all these tobacco, I mean these snuff cans for? Just for some use?
I'm going to make me something out of them one of these days.
Are you still using that kind there? The Bill Horn?
I just put a water in my mouth.
I thought that was what you did. You always leave a little in there. Why is that?
Just too late to run my thumb around and get it. You'll see that one of these days if I get it on it. I'll show you. That ain't it. That's a binder, though. I mean, a gauge. And that goes in this machine here.
That stuff comes natural to you, did your dad teach you how to repair shoes, work in leather? Did you ever work
leather? He worked leather, but his main hobby on the sideline was cabinet building. He had his back in his shop full of machinery, turning lathes. And at that time, there was a lot of old rail fences.
Yeah.
I got the lathe. Where's that? Back there in one of them buildings. But I suppose that you could make a hoe handle, shovel handle, all that kind of stuff. You can make one out of them old rail, alpha rail fence. There's quite a few of them around. Turn that thing out of there, and boy, you had something that lasted you a long time. There's some chairs back there that I got from home. He made, expect them old chairs, 75 or...
Your daddy made them?
Yeah.
Let's go see some of them.
They're hanging up, they broke up. I never asked.
You knew these old wooden boxes like that are highly collectible now? They wind up in antique stores selling $10 or $15 a piece.
No.
Yep.
He keeps the screws in.
That's what I'm saying. We could turn this into a museum. Sweep the floor and turn the lights on.
No, I babied this thing.
Yeah.
From starting up. when I started off, I was going to be nice, you know, and help people. You know, give them a job and so on. I soon found out that at least 25% was of it was going out there in the trash pile on not scraps, but neglect, and had to throw it out. So, you know, forget what they're doing, they didn't give a darn. Always tearing up something. And that's where I went in.
You wound up doing it yourself, then?
I wound up, didn't need them. Huh? Didn't need them. And
too much aggravation. To
you telling me.
Easier to do it yourself, wasn't it?
You know, I'd get up, me and Frank Klein started off about the first time.
He's another machinist. And
yeah, but the poor devil's been planted now 6, 7, or 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
But I'd get up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd be out here pitting around making something. And he'd be over there making it. So, but
what is your background? What is nationality?
My daddy was a fighting Greek, not a Greek, Irishman.
Oh, really?
He come from that part of it.
Oh.
My mother, they're from Texas. And her mother was a half Indian. So that'd make her grandmother.
That'd make you about quarter or eighth Indian?
Something. Enough that I used to want to stick my tomahawk in something every once in a while when I was younger.
Albie, I thought you said your grandfather back in Texas that he used to do shoemaking. Is that
he
right?
Did.
And then your father did some shoemaking too?
Yeah.
I knew his father.
And
Fort Meade.
I've done it for, been around a shoe shop now for about of my 74 years. He started me out when I was 5 years old. I worked on shoes whenever he'd make me. Well, that'd get me a apple juice to come in a nice little wooden box, about so deep, turned upside down where I could work on one of them things. And was out on the farm, he bought 40 acres of rough land. And we had to clean that up.
Was that up around Fort Meade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on Saturdays, it was time to go to town and work in that shoe shop. And we worked. Yeah. And it'd be 2 or 3 o'clock if this customer wanted something. And whenever he got it, why, things quieted down a little bit. Or you fix a sandwich or something. I'd be just started there. And I knew how to do it automatically. I worked on shoes and leather. But I swore I wouldn't have a shoe shop. But if I did have, I put that if in there. At 12 o'clock, I'd close that thing and eat something and sit on my tail an hour. And from then on, it didn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. But I was going to stop and have that lunch and rest. And he always got up, and I still do. He got me in the habit of that when I was growing up, getting up before daylight.
You can't get out of it yet, huh?
I haven't got out of it. Boy, when the day starts to break, I was up, been up sometime. Usually I wake up about 4:30.
Wasn't your daddy a preacher of a sort, local preacher? Or
he was younger, he was evangelist.
He was evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he was a strict disciplinarian, just from what I know about you. Not that you're a disciplinarian, but I mean you may have gone in the reverse of it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It might have been because he was such a disciplinarian, you may have decided you didn't want a whole lot of that anymore.
Well, I didn't. I did.
Yeah.
He was one of his yes and no fellers. And he's always told us if a job wasn't worth doing right, don't do it to start with.
Yeah.
And that wife of mine was, we was talking this morning about something or other. Oh, I'm after all time to get somebody to help her. She's overloaded. She said, they won't do it to suit me.
And then when she trains them, like she did your nephew, he runs off. And takes
he runs off. They don't, everybody wants a nigger rig it now. And she gets on the cans, and I get on the can.
Well, I want to ask you something. How in the world did a homely fella like you hook such a beautiful woman?
Well,
it must have been something you had that wasn't showing.
What you do, you get them young, treat them rough, and tell them nothing.
Is that it?
That's right.
You started her off that way and you kept her that way, huh?
I've kept her that way.
But she's a beautiful woman yet, I tell you.
She is to me.
Never look her age. Have you seen her in the shoe store?
Well, I've seen her at a distance, not up close.
Yeah, she's quite a lady.
That's where you get some.
But all the time she's worked on you, she hadn't had much effect on. That's what I don't understand. She hadn't rubbed any particles off of you or rough edges.
It winds up this way. A woman's love like a housefly. Now a housefly just soon light out there in the yard on the dog turd had the sugar bowl. And that's the way a woman loves it. Don't that say it all?
Yeah, I guess so. You got some secret there. I've been trying to figure it out ever since I've known you. I just found out what it is.
What?
I just didn't treat my wife that way, and I made a mistake. I see that right now. But it's too late now. That's 46 years ago when I got married.
Mm-hmm. I told something over here I was going to show
you. The chairs? Your dad?
Oh, yeah.
There's some of those leggings over there.
Yeah. This is my mold over here. That's just a mold. Now they wanted $16,000 to make me a pair of molds, the mold and plastic leggings in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still working there. I'd come out here and work. First 4 years I started this thing, I missed 4 days of working. But anyhow, I come out here and I work on these things. And I got 7 pair. It cost me $2,800. And it took me 29 months before I made the first pair that I wanted to sell. And after that, they went on their own. And if I'd have had 10,000 pair made up, I could have sold them too. I still get called.
Yeah, I bet. I guess you shipped them all over the world too, haven't you?
Yeah, I shipped them. I've been around with them. Now these little chairs are stuck out here. I was going. I don't know if I can get any light.
What are you cooking this big pot here?
Pressure cooker.
I cook them plastic leggings.
Oh, is that what you do?
I got a big boiler sitting out there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this rocking chair and then these two other chairs.
Yeah. Well, they fell apart and so on, hanging up there. I'm going to have them put back together.
Is that something your daddy made years ago?
Yeah. And I helped him.
Yeah?
I made the phone with him and my little wife. Started housekeeping. We didn't have no chairs. No money either. That was back in March of 1934.
Heart of the Depression. I remember I was 13 years old then, 34.
And I got a job. I didn't argue about it. Study job then. I was doing pretty good before. And I $20 a month driving a Fulton tractor. And now they get that an hour for working.
So yeah.
And well, we started from there. But I get some time, I get me some wood up, go to the river, cut me some poles like I wanted to.
What kind of lumber was that?
Most of it hickory. Them there, it, them legs and rounds, rungs they call them, was hickory. So
you started from scratch
and built them.
Old them, huh?
I made, never to get five made straight chairs for breakfast. And we used them things and used them and used them. And she finally, you know, got done pretty good. She had a woman gonna have to have a new breakfast room suit or a bedroom suit, whether the other's any good or not.
Yeah. And you had any more than those out, had you?
They stood around here for 30, 40 years before they finally just out in the weather, it got the best of them. But they never did bust till they got old.
Till you quit using them, huh?
Yeah. As long as it's inside and taken care of, they're just as good as ever was. But them was hung up there, they're falling apart. But them was made out of hickory cut out of river swamp.
Let me ask you another thing about your dad. What kind of preacher was he?
Church of God.
Church of God. He didn't. Did he have any formal education?
Never went to school a day in his life.
And he didn't. He just started out preaching. Called to preach and started preaching.
That's right. When he was 20 years old.
I bet he was a stomp down good one too, wasn't he?
If you done what he said, do. The only one of the biggest mistakes he done